can the Saint charm the Panther with some, you know, and transhuman animal communication?
Yeah, if that's the case, then I don't think the Panther's got a chance. But I think if it's just a Panther versus a human being, Saint.
Yeah,
with no weapons, just Panther versus man.
Yes,
essentially, I think a Panther wins.
Okay, I agree with you on that. And I'm going to take it a step further, and I'm going to say it's going to be a very strong-minded Panther. Even if the Saint does have magic powers, I believe a strong-minded Panther would also defeat a Saint in real life.
She plays wipeout on the drums, squirrels and the birds come, gather around to sing the guitar. Oh, I have you got nothing to say? When all words fail, she speaks, mixtapes a masterpiece, walks through the gardens on the roses to see. Oh, I have you got nothing to say? And you can see
what's up? Good evening. You're listening to another episode of Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and I am your host. I usually say the one and only Billy Gunn, but there's actually, I realize every week I say the one and only Billy Gunn, there's a very famous guy that goes by the name Billy Gunn, which is weird because his name is actually Monty Sopp. But if my name was Monty Sopp, I'd steal my name too. So, the one and only Billy Gunn on this, the official sports wagering podcast of the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. And this week, I am so excited as we continue the Making New Friends Tour, Making New Friends Volume 2, Panthers Edition. We've invited Saints Week 2 opponent podcaster Bryson from the Panthers on Tap podcast, and he's going to join us going through the slate of all the games this week and talk a little Saints and Packers or Saints and Panthers. Bryson, what's up, man? Welcome to Taking the Over.
Hey, man, I'm glad to be on. Thanks for inviting us. I'm always glad to make some new friends. Like you said, last week, actually, we had some Jets fans on, and one of them actually came down to the game, so I got to meet him in person, so that was pretty cool. But yeah, we're going to try to do this as well on our podcast every week. And I'm just excited to be here and talk football.
Well, dude, well, congrats on taking care of the Jets. I mean, that was something, you know. Yeah. You guys got it. It was the new era with Sam Darnold. You know, we had a matchup ourselves against the Packers that, you know, we took care of. So, I mean, got 2-1-0 teams coming in, NFC South. Man, I mean, like it's excitement, you know, it's excitement. And it's funny you say you had a jet. Like, I'm planning on doing this most weeks. I'm not planning on inviting somebody from another city every week. Like the Jets, that's one that almost scares me. I'm almost afraid to invite a Jets podcaster on.
Yeah, their podcast was called Ain't Easy Being Green. So they were
I like that. Okay, that sounds like a fun name.
Yeah. there were some characters, but I mean, they were realistic and, you know, not crazy Jets fans. So it was fun for sure.
Well, after last week, I might be crazy Saints fan. You let me know at the end if I am or not. Dude, how'd you come to become a Panthers fan?
Yeah, so I was born in North Carolina, the western part of the state, a town called Taylorsville, North Carolina. And I was actually born in 96, so it was right around the time the team came to fruition in North Carolina, so in Charlotte. And I just grew up and watched them play. You know, I've been watching Jake Delhomme. Steve Smith is one of my favorite Carolina Panthers. Cam Newton is my favorite Carolina Panther of all time.
Interesting.
Yeah, and that's a whole – it seems like we address Cam Newton every week on our podcast, just with everything going on with him. And
sometimes after a divorce, there's a wake, you know.
for sure. So, I've just been watching him forever. And my co-host on Panthers on Tap, there's two of us, Curtis, he's actually from Wisconsin, and he moved down here, I think, like 5 years ago. But he was a Panthers fan in Wisconsin. And then he moved down here and took a job down here to be around the Panthers.
So, that's fucking crazy. That's dedication. Right? That's so dedication, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. And he works for a news station. So, I think he could get a job anywhere. So, right. So yeah, we are big Panthers fans for sure. And like I was telling you earlier before we hopped on, we had a Panthers reporter, one of the biggest Panthers reporters in our little community, on this week. And we had some interesting topics that we talked about. So
that's awesome. Panthers on Tap. Check them out anywhere you get pod. Just search Panthers on Tap. You'll find them. You know, this is a sports wagering podcast that's part of a Saints fan network, right? And so it's sports wagering with a, you know, we're biased towards, I'm biased towards Saints, I can't lie. You know, just to recap for listeners, last week I went crazy. Actually, when the smoke cleared, I placed 34 bets last week. Yeah, and if you find me on Twitter at Taking the Over, I show receipts on everything. I'm not one of these sports wagering betting podcast guys or Twitter personalities that doesn't actually bet what they say they're gonna fucking bet. Like, I really do that. So at Taking the Over, I mean, like I said, if I believe in it, I'm gonna bet it. Last week, and it's so funny, when you go 20-14, that's 34 bets, you know. Like, so when the smoke cleared, I was up 10 units on the weekend or on the week. Actually did 7-1 on college football, which saved me. I had the most success with my Saints wagers, in addition to my college wagers. And so, as we, you know, we get into the betting portion of the show, I'm going to be pretty Saints heavy this week, because I've got a whole strategy there. But, are you a gambler?
So it's kind of weird. So in North Carolina, they still haven't really like fully legalized sports betting. So you either have to use like the I forget the name of it, like Bet AG or whatever, like the one that's in like Puerto Rico. Or you have to do like just like kind of like DraftKings weekly fantasy. You can't really bet on games unless you drive across the state line to Virginia.
How far is that?
From where I am, it's like an hour and a half.
Okay.
So, so yeah, I haven't done a whole lot of betting this season. I used to live in West Virginia for a little bit, and up there it's fully legalized. So, I did more up there, but, I do try to keep my eyes open and, you know, look at like who's favored and stuff like that. And I think correct me if I'm wrong, but the Panthers opened up as 3.5 home underdogs to the Saints. Is that correct?
They actually opened up as 3, and it's grown to 3.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's great. I love being a home underdog.
Well, it's a home underdog that's growing into more of an underdog as the days go by.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the best.
What's good? Like I said, I try to do gambling in like layman's terms on this show. So, you know, flash a light at me if I'm going too fast or I get confusing. All right. So this is a question some friends and I had as we were talking about Panthers and NFC South and just other teams and other teams' fan bases. Who is the Panthers' rival? Like, for example, the Falcons are the Saints' rival. We fucking hate the Falcons. Okay. Yeah. We don't like the Falcons. Who is your biggest rival as a fan base?
You know, there for a while when Cam was on the team, we had it out for the Seahawks. Every year we were playing, it felt like we were playing the Seahawks either in the playoffs or regular season. And we went back and forth with them. But I mean, divisional wise, I would say the team, you can't even really say the Saints because they've had the number on the Panthers for a little bit here.
Right.
But I think the Falcons are probably the most hated team in Carolina as well.
Okay.
Because they are so close. Georgia is only like a 4-hour drive from Charlotte. Yeah. Atlanta is. And it's just that the Falcons are closer back and forth wise with Carolina than the Saints have been recently. So I think the Falcons kind of leave that taste in our mouth. We'll see how the season goes, but you know, Falcons might not be too hot.
All right. Hypothetical here. Who do you think would win in a fight between like a real Panther and a real Saint?
Okay. So this might be a stupid question.
All right.
What exactly is a real Saint?
What is a real Saint? All right. So let's say for purposes of it's like a famous Catholic.
Okay.
Right. Saints are like famous Catholics. I'm secure in that. That I know.
Okay.
Beyond that, like they are recognized. So, they might be saints of different things. You know, okay. I'm not Catholic, so I'm not well versed in saintdom. But we'll say a Panther versus a very famous, notorious Catholic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does that saint have any weapons, or is it just fist versus?
Well, I mean, they're a saint, so you know, you gotta believe or not believe that.
Okay.
Right. You gotta have faith. Like somebody told me that there's a saint of like animals, right? And so like, can the saint charm the Panther with some, you know, and transhuman animal communication?
Yeah. If that's the case, then I don't think the Panther's got a chance, but I think if it's just a Panther versus a human being saint.
Yeah.
With no weapons, just Panther versus man.
Yes.
Essentially, I think a Panther wins.
Okay. I agree with you on that. And I'm going to take it a step further, and I'm going to say it's going to be a very strong-minded Panther. Even if the saint does have magic powers, I believe a strong-minded Panther would also defeat a saint in real life.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Panthers are pretty scary. They're pretty big, and
wild
cats of the jungle, so did you see that like alternate reality thing they did this past weekend?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. I love alternate reality stuff.
Yeah, that was awesome, dude. I was actually at the game. And they brought it up, and it was like a surprise for everybody. Like nobody knew that was gonna like be going
right.
on.
Right.
So they did it, and it was freaking awesome, man.
That's fun. Yeah, I like the augmented reality stuff a lot. All right, so we're ready to get into the football for this week. You ready, man?
Let's do it.
All right. So look, so we're going to start. We're going to quick talk about Thursday night. I hope to have this show up at latest tomorrow morning. So Thursday night football is back. We get just regular trash Thursday night football this week, Bryson. It's New York Giants traveling to Washington to take on football team. Washington football team is a 3-point home favorite. The traveling Giants coming off a loss to Denver. Whereas Washington is coming off of a loss to the Chargers. Over-under on this game is 40. What's your thoughts on the Giants versus football team?
Yeah, I think I would take the 3 and the football team at home there. I don't know if I'd take the over, but I think Washington has a great defense. The Giants defense I thought was good, but Teddy Bridgewater torched them. And, I mean, we both know Teddy Bridgewater. He's not really a gunslinger, and he looked great against the Giants last week. So
I think he looked great when he was with the Saints.
He did. Yeah.
I just don't think he looked that great with, and look, we love your offensive coordinator in Carolina, right? Joe Brady, LSU's greatest season of all time. You know, he was hand in hand with Joe Burrow, but I don't think that he did a good job with Teddy last year.
No, he didn't. That's the talk in Carolina. A lot of us fans, the Panthers last season struggled with red zone, scored in the red zone, and they also struggled on third down a lot. And a lot of it was play calling from Joe Brady.
Mm-hmm. They struggled with red zone this week too.
They did. Yeah. But some of those were Sam Darnold not getting the ball where it needed to be, because there was a pass to Ian Thomas right up the seam that should have been a touchdown. And then we had Terrace Marshall Jr. towards the end of the corner of the end zone that also would have been a touchdown if both of those balls were where they needed to be. I think the plays were called, but the execution wasn't there from Sam. But sorry to get off on a tangent there. But I think I would take Washington 3 points, and me personally, I would take the under.
Wow, an under.
Yeah,
that's bold.
I know life.
We don't take unders on this show.
Life's short, man. I know it's life. Life's too short to take the under, but hey,
that's right.
I mean. It's two offenses. You got Taylor Heineke playing quarterback.
I'm excited about that.
So I just don't see a lot of points being scored unless Antonio Gibson goes off, or I don't even know if Saquon's playing, but Saquon Barkley goes off. But I don't know, man. It's probably going to be just a boring, shitty game.
Yeah, I agree with you on the Washington football team -3, though. In fact, that's one of 7 bets that I'm going to endorse this week.
Okay.
I think I saw a lot out of Heineke when I've seen him play before. Mm-hmm. He looked good when he came in after Fitzpatrick last week. The Giants are dog shit. Teddy two gloves dissected them. You're right. He took them apart in a way that he doesn't normally look like. So I feel a little spicy throwing something into the Thursday night football game. Washington football team -3. Next game is going to be the Las Vegas Raiders coming off a big Monday night football overtime victory over Baltimore, traveling to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers, who are 5.5-point home favorites. Total on this game, Bryson, is 46.5. What do you think about the Raiders and the Steelers both coming off wins last week?
Yeah, I thought the Raiders looked really good. You know, Derek Carr came out and had a pretty good game and got that crazy win in overtime. I thought that game was, you know, in the category for game of the year, possibly. It was really, really fun to watch.
Did you happen to catch the Mannings feed?
I did not. I hear a lot of people talking about that, but I was just watching the regular Monday night crew. But I heard it was funny.
They were doing all kinds of crazy hijinks and all that. Like, by the time they got to the fourth quarter and overtime, Russell Wilson was hanging out with them. So you had Eli Manning, Peyton Manning, and Russell Wilson. Three Hall of Fame quarterbacks, one who's currently playing, right? Yeah. They were dissecting Carr.
Really?
Oh, dude. Like you've never seen a sportscaster on a major broadcast. Like, they weren't just like, he sucks. They were just kind of like mocking him. Mm-hmm. In a way that would lead you to think he sucks. It was something to see. It was something to see.
Yeah, I might have to go back and watch that.
I've employed I have a cat. He's a long-haired cat, long-tailed cat too. And I actually have him pick 5 NFL games a week.
Oh, okay.
He actually picked this game earlier today. I wouldn't feel comfortable picking this game, so I'm glad that he did. And he took Pittsburgh -5.5. I don't really endorse that. I feel like Pittsburgh's like a Pittsburgh win, but don't cover on this game.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of Pittsburgh. I thought last year was a fluke and I showed in the playoffs, but I think Big Ben's got a noodle arm out there. And, I think the only reason they scored into the 20s was because the special team scored on a block punt or something like that. So, I don't know. If I was picking this game, I would take the Raiders in points.
I think that's a smart move. I think that's a real smart move.
I think that's more of the safe bet. And then probably, I hate to do it, but I might take the under again.
Yeah. See, you also have the option of just not betting the total.
Okay, that's true.
You notice I'm not taking every over. But actually, this week, I'm not betting any full game totals. I do have a couple of team totals that I'm going to endorse, but... Okay. Now, you can take an under or you can just not place a bet.
Yeah, I'd probably just not place a bet then.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
All right. Next game is fascinating. So Cincinnati's traveling to Chicago. Okay. Cincinnati opened, or not even opened, by Monday morning, they were a 4-point underdog on the road in Chicago. With Andy Dalton at quarterback. That line by today, by Wednesday afternoon, has moved to Cincinnati only +1.5. Moves from +4 to +1.5. Total on that game is 44.5. Bryson, what's your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, man, the LSU Tigers of the North looked pretty good last week with Joey B and Ja'Marr Chase. And, you know, we came into the season with all these negative things surrounding, is Joe Burrow going to be Joe Burrow with his injury and Ja'Marr Chase with the drops, and they come out and they beat the Vikings in overtime. So, and Ja'Marr Chase goes for almost 100 yards and a touchdown. I like the Bengals in this game. As long as Andy Dalton's starting at quarterback, if Justin Fields is starting at quarterback, I think I go with the Bears, but, I think I take the Bengals and the points.
That's what I'm talking about, dude. I'm with you on that. Even at 1.5, because I almost bought this one yesterday at 3, and now I'm feeling stupid for not doing it at 3.
Yeah.
But I am still going to grab it at 1.5. I think it's going to kind of level out here at 1.5. I don't think it's going to go much further than that. Again, I'm staying away from the total on this game. But no, you and I agree again. So, okay, next game. You played the Jets last week.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jets this week are hosting the Patriots in an early game. The Jets are getting 5.5 points at home. After having watched the Jets last week, what do you think?
So
how did they look?
In the first half, the Panthers just manhandled the Jets. Like, it was 16-0 going into half. They came out at half and they made some adjustments. Robert Saleh, the head coach, some good halftime adjustments. I mean, he outcoached Matt Rhule in the second half. He really did. And the Jets look good. I mean, Zach Wilson came out. He was sacked 5 times in the game. He fumbled. He threw an interception to Shaq Thompson. But all that came in the first half, pretty much. And the second half, he came out and he looked really good and threw 2 touchdowns to Corey Davis. And, you know, who was there? Elijah Moore is their rookie receiver. He had a couple catches there. The running game didn't really get anything going, but when Zach Wilson was able to get a pass off, he looked good. He really did. I think the Jets could win against the Patriots. I really do. I'm not a huge fan of Mac Jones. One, because I'm a Cam Newton fan and that whole situation. But two, because when Mac Jones came out, it was, you know, talking Carolina, oh, the Panthers could take him, or if he's there, Matt Rhule likes Mac Jones. And I watched a lot of film, and I just wasn't a huge fan of Mac Jones. I personally like mobile quarterbacks, people that can improvise, and Mac Jones just really isn't that. He's not he's not a statue, but he's just not an improviser. But I do think the Jets with 5 points, that would be hard for me not to take it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I personally am not going to place a wager on this game this week. My cat did select the Patriots, which I don't think is the right move. I think this is another case of win, don't cover. You know, I think the Patriots win. I don't think the Patriots cover. Getting to the next game. This one's crazy, man, because this is one of the two worst teams in the NFL, or definitely one of the three worst teams in the NFL. The Houston Texans are traveling to Cleveland to take on the Browns. And when the Houston Texans travel to Cleveland, they're bringing 12.5 points with them. 12.5 points. Okay. 48.5 is the total. Dude, I feel like on this one, I don't feel strong enough to do it yet, but if this, 12.5,
that's a lot.
That's for a team that won last week.
Yeah. A team that looked pretty good. They look pretty good.
Jacksonville may be a historically bad team when the smoke clears on this season, but I'm circling it right now. You know what? Take that one. Texas.
You're taking the Texans in the points?
I'm taking Texans in the points.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I think that is a lot of points, but I think the Browns are better at every single position on the field by a substantial amount. Maybe not left tackle Laremy Tunsil, but I think the Browns mopped the floor with them, and I could see them winning by 2 touchdowns. So I think I would take the Browns, but reluctantly. I don't think I would make a pick on this one.
Yeah, that's a smart move again. This next game, okay. There's a few wagers a week, like 2 or 3 of my wagers a week that I really go, okay, this is the one. If you're going to follow me, if you want to do what I'm doing, this is one of them, all right? Because it worked last week. The Indianapolis Colts are bad, and they are going to be home underdogs to the Rams, who are coming in, and they're bringing Matt Stafford. The Rams are -3.5 on this game. Okay, Colts are 3.5-point home dogs. I think that Carson Wentz is garbage. Beautifully, he managed to have a decent-looking stat line last week, which means that it throws people off as far as how bad he really is. And he still looked bad. I watched that game. He looked bad. He looked horrible. The Rams are like one of those new mid-engine Corvettes. You know what I mean?
Yes.
They're like a supercar. They're like a F1. Okay. Yep. I don't care if they're on the road. I don't care if the Colts are at home. I don't care if it's an early game. Give me the Rams and they'll start in a 3.5-point hole. I'll take it all day. In fact, I'm going to go heavy on this one because I think that the Rams are going to beat the pants off them. Because one of the things that the Colts hung their hat on last year was their defense. And where was their defense against Russell Wilson this week? They got ate up.
Non-existent, man.
They got ate up, dude.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on the Rams and the Colts?
So the Rams, I think, could win the Super Bowl this year. I really do.
I'm with you. That's very much a possibility. I think they're one of the two top teams in the NFC.
Absolutely. I think they're one of the most complete teams in the NFL, you know, with the defense that they have. And then bringing in Matt Stafford, finally a quarterback that can run that offense there with Sean McVay. I'm with you 100%. I think the Rams win this game easily.
Yeah, This is one that you really need to, if you're gonna bet on it, load up. The Bills traveling to take on the Dolphins. This is talk about rivalries and fun games.
Yeah.
Bills coming off a loss. Dolphins coming off a win. Dolphins plus 3.5 at home. Dolphins are 3.5-point home underdogs to the Bills. Now, I watched the Bills, watched every play of that Bills game last week. Bills have an offensive line problem. Bills have an offensive. There was four holding penalties on the Bills offensive line in the first 10 minutes of game time in the first quarter.
Dang.
It's hard to have a drive. And every play is like a 5-wide receiver empty backfield. Doesn't matter the down and distance.
Yeah, they do not run the ball at all.
they've got a quarterback that they just gave a historic contract to, and they'll run 8 designed quarterback runs a game.
Oh man.
It's insanity.
Yeah.
It's insanity. Watching the Bills last week and they ultimately lost to Pittsburgh, and it was, you know, Pittsburgh's here to go, hey, when we're healthy and we're early and we're a well-prepared team, we started 11-0 last year. Pittsburgh comes and wins that game. The Bills coach reminds me of like young, early Sean Payton. You a soccer fan, Bryson?
Kind of.
You know, like in Barcelona, the Barcelona team, they won't allow them just to win. Their fan base doesn't accept just winning. They want them to win with flourish. Right.
It feels
like Bill's coach tries to win with flair. He's got the talent all over the place. He's just doing crazy. They had a 4th-and-1 play where he tossed it 6 yards in the backfield. You probably saw that highlight. Mm-hmm. You know, like a almost like a backward screen on 4th-and-1 that just got blown up. He reminds me like a young Sean Payton of doing fancy, cute things that weren't necessary. And Sean will still do it from time to time, but he's earned it. He can do whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah.
You know, Bill's coach does that. I'm not into this game. My cat is. He's taking the Dolphins in the 3.5 points. And I think he made a very, very wise selection.
Okay. Yeah. Bill's coach, Sean McDermott, is a former Carolina Panthers defensive coordinator. And we call the Bills the Carolina Panthers of the North because they literally, their GM is from Carolina, their head coach is from Carolina, their defensive coordinator is from Carolina. They have probably like 6 to 8 former Carolina Panthers on their roster. So we kind of go back and forth with them a little bit. But I think the Steelers may have one of the best defenses in the league this year. You cannot deny TJ Watt. I mean, he's the one that pretty much ruined Cam Newton's career with that hit to his shoulder, a famous picture. So I have nightmares about him every night. But I think the Steelers may have one of the best defenses in the league this year. And I think the Bills are better than what they showed this past weekend. And I think the Bills show it this weekend. So I would take the Bills in this game. I don't think the Dolphins are very good. I know they won 10 games last year, but I'm not very high on Tua. I'm not very high on their defense. So I think I'd take the Bills and the points, but reluctantly. I like you were saying, I could see this, you know, I could see the Dolphins winning, absolutely. But I just have a feeling that the Bills come out this week and show that they are not the team that they were in week 1.
Next game is the 49ers traveling to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles. 49ers are a 3.5-point favorite on the road in Philadelphia. Total on this game is 49.5. I heard you say earlier the Eagles are not, I mean, they're not that great, right? And the 49ers, to me, it's like one of these things. They're one of these teams. It's one of these things where when they're healthy early in the year and all the parts are there, they're awesome. They're like Super Bowl capable. Right. Mm-hmm. And then things happen along the way. And it also happens with like individual players. If you notice, like Gronk is one of those guys that's always, you know, he's going to be there for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
In week 1, he's going to be there for the playoffs. You know, where's he going to be week 9? Not in stat line, you know? No. And I feel like
there's teams that like they're healthy, like a Gronk is. Like the reason why you saw Gronk have a fantastic week one on Thursday night of last week was he's healthy. He's not all banged up. He doesn't have all the accumulation of injuries, you know, and the 49ers as a team are like that. And they're already starting to have the same voodoo that they had last year where guys are dropping like flies in San Francisco. Yep. They put up 31 points in the first half last week. They put up 31 points in the first half this week. Look, 3.5 points on the road in Philly, I don't know. I mean, because like I said, their number one running back went down. They got a couple more behind them. We'll see what happens. What I do like about this, and this is one of my another bet I highly endorse this week, is looking at the team total. And the team total on the 49ers is 26.5. Last week they scored 31 in the first half. What's your thoughts on the Niners and the Eagles?
I can't remember. Who did the 49ers play last week?
49ers played Detroit.
Detroit, okay. Yeah, that's right. And then Detroit came back at the end, almost. But this is a tough one because I don't think the Eagles are very good, like I said and like you mentioned. But I'm just not sure about the 49ers, man. I'm not sure about Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm not sure about a lot of things on that team. And like you said, their running back went down, their top running back, Mostert. And Elijah Mitchell came in and played well. I don't know what's going on with Trey Sermon there. I drafted Trey Sermon in a lot of leagues, and they let me down with a healthy scratch last week. So this is a tough one. It really is. I don't think I'm touching this one. But if I had to pick a gun to my head, I think I would take the 49ers. But I do like Jalen Hurts. I will say that.
I like Jalen Hurts, too. Like, when the Saints played them late last season and Hurts got his first start, I was pissed. They announced earlier in the week that instead of playing against Carson Wentz, we were going to play against Jalen Hurts. I went, the Saints are going to lose. And they did. And everybody was shocked. Oh, my God. I'm like, no, this was coming. I like Jalen Hurts a lot.
Me too.
I'm staying away from this one. My cat took the Eagles. You know, look, he's at a 70% lifetime, win. Actually, he's at 80%, I should say.
Wow.
66 something. He's 4-2 on his life. So, I mean,
okay.
That's a good, all right, yeah. Too much LSU accent, or I can't do the math right now. But the next game, God, I'm going to have to find a way to watch this. The Broncos are traveling down to Jacksonville, right? Mm-hmm. And the Jags may be the worst team in the league this year.
Yeah.
And they might have accidentally, we hired a fucking oddity of a coach. We hired a circus freak. We didn't go hire a real fucking coach. Mm-hmm. And the Broncos are going to be 6-point favorites on the road when they play Jacksonville. Total on this game is 45.5. I've got nothing for the total. Bryson, what's your thoughts on Denver and Jacksonville?
I'm taking the 6 and I'm taking Denver. Cause like you said, man, I'm right there with you, dude. I think the Jags defense is, I think Alabama's defense is better, maybe.
They made the Houston Texans look like Alabama.
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
they put up 37 points, yeah.
So, I think the Broncos looked good. They looked good against the Giants. And I don't know how good the Giants are going to be this year either, but they look good. And like we mentioned about Teddy earlier, he looked good. Melvin Gordon looked good. The defense looked good. I would consider this a Panthers on tap lock. Broncos 6 points.
I like it. I like that.
Yeah.
I could lean that way, man. The Jags are bad.
Yeah.
The Jags are really, really bad.
And I agree with you. The hiring of Urban Meyer, man. Oh my gosh. I do not understand that. And like you can just tell, like, with the, even with, like, bringing Tim Tebow in, even for like a tryout basis, like, this guy's just there to be in the spotlight somehow. And I don't know. And even like this week, there was like news of like maybe he's interested in the USC job, and then he's like, absolutely not. But
I wouldn't have even answered that question. That was a fucking ESPN headline today. And I'd have been like, that is the stupidest question. I've coached one game here.
Yep.
Which one game? What gives you the right to ask that question?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. I don't think he's going to be very successful in the NFL. And
no.
I don't know how long he lasts. But definitely not a good hire, in my opinion.
No. The Vikings
are traveling to take on little Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona's 3.5-point home favorites. Total on this game is 50.5. That's intriguing. That's a fun line right there.
Yeah.
So far, that's the highest of any we've talked about this week. What you got, man? What do you think? Vikings traveling to Arizona. Arizona's 3.5-point home favorite. I was shocked by the way the Cardinals handled Nashville last week.
Yes, absolutely. That's what I was going to say. The Cardinals looked really good. I don't think anybody expected them to play like they did against the Titans, because the Titans are a good team. I think they are a good team, but it was crazy. I mean,
rested and healthy Kyler Murray.
Yes,
it's not absolutely a week 11 Kyler Murray. It's a week 1 Kyler Murray.
Yep.
And
that throw he had off his back foot, the touchdown to Christian Kirk, that was one of the best throws I've seen in a long time, man. He just flicked that thing off his back foot and it went like 40 yards right into the breadbasket for a touchdown. So this game, I think that it does hit the over. I think I would feel comfortable doing that with the over points. I think I take the Vikings. I take the points in the Vikings. They lost in overtime to the Bengals. And I think that they want to show people what they have. And, people think the Vikings are a playoff team. And the offense has been consistently one of the best in the NFL for the past couple of years. They got Justin Jefferson, which I know you know who that is.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the Vikings, I don't know if they win, but I think points wise, with the three, I think that that bet wins.
Staying away. I don't feel like I got a good enough read on either of it.
That's fair.
You know, next game is two teams we hate. I can speak for you. I know you have verified that you don't like one of them. I don't think you like the other one either. The Atlanta Falcons are traveling to Tampa Bay to take on the Tampa Toms.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom and the boys have got 11.5 points.
Oh my God.
Minus 11.5 Tampa at home against the Falcons. 51.5 is the total. You want to go for? Fuck the Falcons. I don't even think I want to watch this game. I don't even have an opinion. I expect Tampa to win. I don't expect them to, I don't know if they're gonna fucking cover that or not.
Yeah,
I hate both of these teams.
I do too, absolutely. And us Panthers fans, man, we have Drew Brees forever, and then Tom Brady comes and wants to play in this division. And Matt Ryan, it's Matt Ryan, not really anywhere near those quarterbacks, but Matt Ryan has been better than what we've seen in Carolina besides Cam Newton. So the Panthers have just been, man, we have just been getting the rod with these quarterbacks coming to the division. I think the Bucs win this game easily. I think the Falcons might be one of the worst teams in the league this year as well, right there with the Jags, maybe not as not going to be much better. Their defense literally is probably going to be the worst in the league. Their defense is awful. I don't know if you've seen that their defensive roster, but I think the only player they have is Grady Jarrett. Like it's disgusting. It's so bad. Anybody's going to look good against that defense.
Did you guys do a podcast with the Falcons? Did y'all get a Falcons podcast on to talk to y'all?
Not yet. We haven't played the Falcons. So we'll probably do it, the week before we play them.
Oh, okay.
We just started this year, our podcast. I'll say that. So, we just started our podcast this year.
Oh, wow. How's it going so far?
Pretty good, man. It's growing steadily. So
Dallas Cowboys are coming to L.A. in that big, fancy, nice stadium to take on the Chargers. This one, man, I got a rule, and it served me well last week betting against the Cowboys, so I can't bring myself to take the Cowboys getting 3 points on the road against the Chargers. Total on that game is 55.5. I had a multitude of bets on the Thursday night game last week, and I found that anytime I started to get a little bit of that gambling sweat, the camera would pan over to Mike McCarthy on the sideline for the Cowboys, and I immediately feel better. It immediately went away, and all my bets won. So it was like, dude, oh my God, fucking Jerry Jones. Cowboys are an example of a team. I mean, Jerry Jones was once a great owner, mm-hmm. you know, but now he just meddles and they'll forever suffer for it until he's gone. Teams like that are like the Cowboys, the Giants, the Raiders. Saints used to be a team like that. Saints used to, Tom Benson used to, is like after Katrina, the league had an intervention with Benson. He's trying to, like, he's talking about moving the team after Katrina. The league had an intervention and they gave him a list of names when they were decided they were going to fire everybody and start over in New Orleans. And the league's like, look, hire somebody off this list. These are the best guys. Find somebody off this list, preferably, and don't meddle with the team. And since that point, that's when the Saints got good. Hmm. We started with, you know, Randy Mueller as our GM, which, you know, eventually led to Loomis, the Loomis Peyton regime that we have now, you know, mm-hmm. but like the Cowboys are an example of one of those teams now. Like Jerry Jones has become that meddling owner that meddles in a bad way. You know, it might be something that afflicts Jacksonville. There's other franchises like that out there, you know, I mean, but like the Giants football team, I feel like the league just recently had an intervention with Dan Snyder.
Yeah.
In the lat, like they got, all right, dude, he's like, you know, so they've made some changes. They're like, you're about to get voted off the island. And that's what they'll do. And they'll tell you that. You know, like say, Tom Benson hopped on board 15 years ago. Everything's better, you know? I mean, Cowboys aren't going to do that till Jerry Jones is gone, and maybe his son is worse.
Yeah, it might be. He might be, man. So you said that the Cowboys are underdogs going to LA?
Cowboys are underdogs. Now, granted, they're on the road, so on a neutral site, this would be a pickup game.
Yeah.
You know?
The Chargers
may have more fans. They're probably, this is going to be a home game for dude. The Cowboys are going to fill that stadium.
They are.
There's not even any Charger fans in LA.
No.
This is going to be, okay, fuck it. I change it. I want, God damn. Such a dilemma.
It is, man, because the Chargers are a really good team. And I think the Cowboys showed that they could be a good team. I love Dak Prescott. I'm a huge Dak Prescott fan. And he is, when he's healthy, man, he is a top five quarterback in this league, in my opinion. He played. He played great. He played great Thursday.
He played great. They only lost by, 2 points?
Yeah. Something crazy like that. And
to Tampa?
Yeah. So I think I'm taking the Cowboys in this one and the points. Like you said, it's going to be a home game for them. I don't know one Chargers fan. No offense to anybody if you are a Chargers fan, but I don't know one.
I don't know one either.
Yeah. So I know a shit ton of Cowboys fans.
Oh, God. We got overrun with Cowboys fans.
Yeah, that's everywhere, man.
It's when I was sad. A kid, yeah, when I was in college, I went to college in North Louisiana, and so on Sundays we'd use the Shreveport affiliate for football games, right? Mm-hmm. They'd play the fucking Cowboys instead of the Saints in the state of Louisiana.
Oh my God.
That's the seed of my Cowboy hatred.
Wow.
And this is after. Now this is after they'd all, you know, I didn't give a shit. I hated them when they Emmitt Smith and winning all them championships. Most diehard Saints fans, they've got. It's like the Cowboys are like a secondary rival. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's always a hot ticket. Let's put it like that. I can't do it. I can't bring myself to bet on the Cowboys. So good news is this is one of the five games that my cat picked. He picked the Cowboys.
Oh, okay. All right.
You can see the video of my cat and pick and there's like behind the scenes and shit at taking the over on Twitter.
So what's the over under on that?
55.5
55.5 God, yeah. I mean, it's going to be an offensive battle for sure, but I don't know about 55.5 I don't know about that.
I was just picking off overs of college football like Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday. I was just like, bing, like last second, just looking at it and going, what? Okay. 7-1 doing that shit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my most success of the week. It was like going, it was Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, going like, what? Is this over? Oh my! Yeah, they're gonna score 70. That's only 51. I don't know. I don't want to touch that game.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Sunday Night Football, Chiefs. Man, fucking Chiefs did it again. Win no cover Chiefs. Traveling to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. The Ravens are getting 3.5 points spotted to them at home. Over under on this game is 55.5. We get this treat twice a year. Kansas City, Mahomes, and Baltimore, Lamar Jackson. Bryson, what you think about this one?
I'm not betting against the Chiefs, man. I'm taking the Chiefs and the points. I don't know. The Ravens struggled with the Raiders. I take it the Chiefs did struggle with the Browns a little bit, but I think the Browns are a little better team than the Raiders are. And I think that the Chiefs went outright, and I could see them winning by a touchdown. So I think the 3 is not really a big deal to me.
It's 3.5, so that means they got to win by 4.
Ooh, 3.5, you lose. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think it's still
– okay.
I think it's still Chiefs, and I'm feeling pretty confident about it.
Can I tell you a secret?
Yeah, let me in on it.
The Chiefs, they always win, but they never cover.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's a thing. KC okay. Stands for can't cover, bro. They did it again last week. It's something to behold. I don't have anything for this game. Like, it'll be fun. I'll have had all of my gambling energy will have been exerted so far. Mm-hmm. Because when it comes to gambling, I'm going to go big on the game that you and I are going to really dig into. I'm staying away from this one too. And then Monday Night Football is going to be Detroit. Man, coming off the Sid, they did come back in the second half against San Francisco to make it look more respectable, taking on the Packers, who just got their asses beat by the Saints last week. The Packers are getting, they are giving 11.5 points to the Lions. The Lions are plus 11.5. Total on this game is 48.5. Don't normally even bet Monday Night Football. Like, usually I like to just relax and watch Monday Night Football and start to think about the next week's wagering. Mm-hmm. I like the Lions at plus 11.5 here.
Me too. It a lot. Yeah, that's what I was about. I mean, when you said 11.5, man, my jaw almost dropped.
Oh, my God. It's 11.5.
I mean, I don't think the Lions are, they're not one of the best teams in the league, but I think, their offense showed something last week with Jared Goff and TJ Hawkinson and Swift out of the backfield, and even their backup Jamal Williams, who used to be a Packer. I think 11.5 points is a lot, and Packers did not look good. You're right; they got their asses kicked by the Saints. I would feel comfortable taking the Lions and the points.
Yeah, we both see that same. And then, again, this is a serious one here. Lions 11.5. That's a winner. Yep. That's a winner. As a Saints fan, and what Saints fan nation, who that nation has been dealing with in the aftermath of our trouncing. I mean, the Saints had the most impressive week one performance of any team in the NFL. Our defense took the number one offense in the NFL last year, and they held them to 3 points, and they sat a Hall of Fame quarterback down with 11 minutes left in the game. Mm-hmm. We've been hearing a lot of, the Packers just have a lot of problems. Packers just had a bad day. This is on the Packers. This is on Aaron Rodgers. This is on all the dysfunction. This is on Green Bay. Oh, Aaron Rodgers got punched in the nuts. Like, who cares? You know, I mean, like, I don't believe. Yeah, no. Multiple things can be true. That's the problem. People get into this country. They don't realize that multiple things can be true at the same time. Currently, it's not an either or always, right? Mm-hmm. You can't discount what the Saints did last week, but the Packers do not deserve 12 points, 11.5 against the Lions in Lambeau. They just don't.
Yep.
Dan Campbell's another one of these. I mean, he's another one of these freak show coach hires. Mm-hmm. And he came from the Saints. And like you said, you've got teams that took a lot of your guys. The Lions are one of those teams. The Bears are one of those teams. We got guys all over. Sean Payton has. Peyton and Loomis have spread their seed, mm-hmm. I don't like the Packers here. I definitely like the Lions. Put money on the Lions, which brings us to our game of the week. The reason why we're making new friends tonight. Saints are traveling to Carolina to take on your Panthers. Okay. Saints opened as, I think it was -3, and now it's -3.5. So as of today, it's -3.5. Total on this game is 44.5. As a Saints fan, I'm obviously brimming with confidence at their performance last week. Mm-hmm. Things could not have gone any better for us. I believe that the Saints have the best offensive line in the league, and it's a pretty cohesive line that's, for, you know, other than they have, you know, been just, we draft guys for the interior line almost every year and just keep them playing with each other. And then we got two great tackles and one bad guard.
Wait, who's the bad guard?
Andres Pete. He's fucking garbage.
Really?
Yeah, he's okay. Shit on ice. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I want to hear what you have to say, man. I mean, what do you think about this game? Yeah. I'll tell you this. I'm going heavy on the Saints.
Okay.
I believe 3.5. I'm sorry, and I'm not. No, and again, I do suffer from extreme homerism, but I think the Saints are going to beat the Panthers by more than 3.5.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, based off of last week, I definitely wouldn't be surprised at that fact. Let me just let you in on a couple things that happened last week in Carolina. So last week, the Carolina Panthers offensive line had the worst pass block win rate in the league at 20% success rate against the Jets defensive line. Oof. Yeah, the Panthers offensive line is bad, and the Saints defensive line is good. That's not a good combination for Carolina. I know I think Davenport's going to be out. Is that correct?
Davenport will be out for a while.
Okay. I feel like
we also drafted a guy in the first round to be Davenport, to platoon with Davenport. Just, we haven't seen that guy play yet. The guy that we drafted in the first round hasn't even played in the preseason yet.
Oh, wow. Is he hurt? Or?
He was hurt. And then what they're saying is he missed a good bit of practice, so that now that he's healthy, they still just want to kind of bring him up to speed. I would love to see him debut against you guys. He's another one of these like Sean Payton finds, you know.
Yeah.
Which Davenport's controversial in New Orleans because his nickname is a really awesome New Orleans podcaster nicknamed this dude Two Firsts, because we traded two first round picks to get him, and we moved up in that draft, and everybody thought we were going to take, like, you know, it was the like big quarterback, and then they were like Michael Davenport, who nobody had heard of.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And he is coming into his own. He doesn't show up on the stat sheet as much as some guys, but I think it's his contract year, and he is going to be badass. I think he's going to come back like week 5 or something now.
Okay.
Our defensive line is pretty stout. It's an area that we have depth issues, or do we not? I want you to continue, because yeah, you said your offensive line is down. McCaffrey got inundated with the ball.
Yeah, that's every week for Carolina.
Right, when he's healthy, right, yeah. And yeah, that's fun. If you're a fantasy guy, you're like, woohoo, he's the prize. Yeah. But
and you know, and of course, in our opinion, he's the best running back in the league, but people argue Kamara or whoever. Yeah. Derrick Henry with 2,000 rushing yards is hard to argue against. Right. But, in our opinion, Carolina, he's the best all-around running back. And he makes life easy for Sam Darnold to a point. Just checking it down. He did that a lot last week. He checked it down. But, you know, last week, Sam Darnold looked pretty good. I don't know if you watched the game or anything. In the first half, he threw for 234 yards and a touchdown. He had a bomb to Robbie Anderson.
I had two player props on Carolina. I had McCaffrey over. It was like over 46.5 receiving yards.
Mm-hmm.
And he cleared that in the first half.
Yeah.
And then I had Darnold over 1.5 touchdowns, so meaning like he had to throw at least two touchdowns.
Mm. Yeah. So the rushing touchdown doesn't count.
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Only passing.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, he did not get that for you, but no. Carolina has one of the best receiving cores in the NFL, from top to bottom, with DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, Terrace Marshall Jr., Shai Smith, Brandon Zylstra. They're very deep at that position. Tight end is a weak spot. Dan Arnold, that you guys know Dan Arnold. He's our starting tight end.
We invented Dan Arnold.
Yeah.
and he's I'm sorry that y'all have him now.
Yeah.
He's not
Yeah, it's the Sam Darnold to Dan Arnold connection. That's what everybody was talking about in camp.
Not much, bro.
But he came out last week and only had two targets and two receptions. So
that sounds like a Dan Arnold stat line.
Yeah. Now, to be fair to Carolina, you know, their offensive line is terrible, absolutely terrible. And we have one good offensive lineman. That's it. And that's Taylor Moten, our right tackle. And on the other side of the ball, though, the Carolina Panthers have a very good defense this year. Very good. Last week, they ranked first in – or tied first for sacks, ranked first in yards allowed rushing, and tied first for yards allowed passing, I think. And I know it was the Jets offense, but this team is – the defense is what fans in Carolina are looking for and looking forward to watch on Sundays. With Brian Burns and Hassan Reddick coming in from Arizona. And you got Derek Brown, the rookie we drafted last year, the defensive tackle. And then Shaq Thompson played great last week, which is something that we're not used to. He's not really performed up to his potential up to this point, but last week he looked great. And then we drafted the rookie corner, J.C. Horn and Jeremy Chinn. And it's a very young defense. I feel like Jameis Winston and Sean Payton are somehow going to play. They're going to play well. I think they are. And the defense is going to choose for Carolina, especially in the defensive line. Defensive line against Panthers, offensive line. So I'm with you, dude. I think I take the Saints and the points.
Taking the Saints and the points, that's a big point of emphasis.
As I don't see Carolina win this game. I really don't.
Yeah, I'm definitely taking the Saints and the points. That's, you know, I think Saints minus 3.5 is big. Even bigger than that, I believe in taking the Saints team total. The Saints team total is currently set at 23.5. I want you to go big on this. Like, if I were you, and I'd drive to West Virginia for this one, right? Because if you normally bet $10, I want you to bet $40. You know what I mean? If you normally bet $20, I want you to bet $80. If you normally bet $100, I want you to bet $400 on the Saints team total over 23.5 points. Your defense is good. You're about to see. You didn't even get to see this offense last week. What we did last week wasn't even... I mean, I think you only saw a glimpse of it. And that's the kind of coach Sean Payton is he's you're going to be shocked, I think, at what you see this week, you know, and it could turn into, I mean, I don't know. Y'all could move the ball on us. We're going to be down some key guys on defense. You know, we're going to be without Lattimore. We're picking up a new corner that served a one game suspension. We've been signing guys right at the end of training. I mean, but I believe the Saints 23.5 team total over. It was 22.5 last week. I got on it big. That's how I had such a big week. As I went, the Saints are going to score way more than 23 points in this game.
Yeah, I think that's you know, I think that's fair. The one thing that would worry me as a Saints fan, though, is, and this is something I talked to my brother about a lot, which we talked about before, is my brother is a huge Saints fan, my younger brother. I think the Saints have one of the worst receiving corps in the NFL right now.
Oh, of course we do. Yeah, they're horrible.
And
it's almost historically bad.
Yeah. And, you know, I like Deontay Harris a lot. I'm a big fan of Deontay Harris, especially kick return, punt return. He's so fast. But I just – the Panthers' defense is good, really good. And the defensive line might not be able to get home as much as they did against the Jets because the offensive line of the Saints is much better. And I agree with you. I think the Saints do have the best offensive line in the league. But – the secondary for the Panthers is also no joke. And Dante Jackson out of LSU, he's improved a lot over the years. J.C. Horn is a dog.
We're so jealous. We wanted him so bad.
He is
physical, Joe Horn's son, man. Joe Horn, yeah. Of course, New Orleans legend.
Absolutely. And Jeremy Chinn and Justin Burris are two. Jeremy Chinn's a very good safety. Justin Burris is a decent safety. I don't know, man. I know Sean Payton's going to scheme up some stuff for sure and get some receivers open, but I think that they're going to have a hard time for the most part getting open against this Panthers secondary.
It'll be fun to watch. It's an early game. I'm excited about the early game, early kickoff. Sometimes when your team's playing in the national, like late
primetime stuff, it gets annoying, you know?
Yeah.
So we like the early games.
Hey, we do not have that problem.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's actually a bad problem, especially if you go to the games. If you go to the games, it throws your whole schedule off.
Yep.
It's like, you know, it's school nights, work nights, all that. It's no good.
One thing I do want to mention, though, for you, that we haven't really talked about is Alvin Kamara, the Panther killer. That's what worries me the most about the Saints offense, because I think Alvin Kamara is going to run all over this defense. They had a good week one, but the Jets suck offensive line and the running backs aren't very good.
Right.
So I think Kamara has a very good day against the Panthers rush defense. So that's what worries me the most as a Panthers fan.
I mean, Kamara is not of this planet. You know what I mean? Like he's an alien and he's amazing. I mean, he's become my favorite Saint of all time.
Really?
God bless. He was a third round draft pick.
Yeah, that was crazy, man.
He was a third round draft pick.
Third round. God.
Smart guy. I used to work at a very high end car dealership in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of our regulars, you know, got a signed ball behind me. I mean, he's a cool guy. When you see him in person, he's not that big to me. Now I'm 6'5", 270. You know what I mean? So everybody's small to me, but like,
yeah,
Kamara wasn't human to human wearing regular clothes. I was shocked at how slight he was, but he's the guy's a training aficionado maniac. I mean, he's just smart about it. He's one of those guys that, you know, puts the money in it, puts the time in it, invested in his body and himself, and he's fantastic. You know, I mean, his dexterity, if you've probably seen the viral dexterity videos of him doing certain, you know, standing on a ball and catching tennis balls on one leg with it, and you see that in his running style. And it's like, you know, I wouldn't argue with you if you told me McCaffrey's better than him. And like you said, you wouldn't argue with me if I told you Kamara's better than McCaffrey.
They're similar.
And, you know, they do the same thing, but they do it differently. And it's so funny to hear you say, you know, the Panther killer. I mean, it was so funny. Last week's guest, the Packers guy, was like, man, Kamara killed us. You know, like, Kamara kills everybody.
He does. You know, and
Kamara kills everybody.
Today, Matt Rhule had a press conference, and he said Alvin Kamara, speaking of his dexterity, he said Alvin Kamara has Hall of Fame balance.
Unreal. Unreal. And I remember, like, you know, we didn't see it coming his rookie year, and then you're like, all right, this guy's awesome. And then I want to say it was like his second year, me and a buddy went. We actually saw it. Y'all came to town. We went to that game. It was a late season game. I don't even think it was a meaningful game. But it was like you knew every third down, like every time Kamara touched the ball, he got the yard to gain at least.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's second and seven, he got a first. If it's third and four, he got a first. You know, like every time he touched the ball, and I was like, this is an amazing phenomenon. As you're just sitting there watching it in the stands, just going, every time he gets the ball, he gets the first. You knew you had something special. You know, he's amazing. He's a good guy. You know, it's a rare thing, man. I'm appreciative. And like I said, he's a cool guy. He's a classy guy. I've talked to him a few times. You know, I mean, he's become my favorite Saint.
Yeah. And if I had to pick a Saint, he'd be my favorite Saint too. I mean, I'm forever indebted to him. Last season I had him in fantasy football and he had a 6-touchdown performance in the championship for me and won me $1,000. So no Panther player has ever won me $1,000 before. So I'm forever indebted to Alvin Kamara and that crazy performance he had in the championship.
Alvin Kamara is just cool. Like he's got a cool vibe. You know what absolutely. I mean? Like you hang out with that, you're in his presence. You go, that motherfucker is just on another level of cool. You can't say that about Drew Brees.
Yeah.
You know, you meet Drew Brees and you're like, that motherfucker would have been a world conquering general if he was born, you know, 1800 years ago. But Kamara is just like, you know, you see, you go, like, I want to get tattoos on my neck too. You know, like you're like, that motherfucker's cool. What, you know, how does he do it?
He is absolutely.
We recommitted to him. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, dude, you have to realize he was making $350,000 base salary. Stupid shit like that as like a slotted third round draft pick. And he's in the most dangerous, you know, he could end it at any moment.
Yeah.
So he had to get to that second contract because his rookie deal was nothing, mm-hmm. right? He had to get, and it's like I was like praying for him every night, and I don't pray. You know, yeah. I was like, dude, because, and I'm so glad he got. I mean, like him getting there. Oh, thank God. Mm-hmm. I'm happy for him as a person.
Absolutely. Know? Absolutely, and like I said, man, I'm a huge Kamara fan. You won't ever hear me talking shit about Kamara, even though he's not on my team. He's on a division rival. Huge fan, and I think it. You know, personally, Christian McCaffrey is my favorite running back, and I think the best, but. You're not going to hear me argue against Alvin Kamara. If you have either of those running backs, your team is in good shape.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, dude, just recap real quick. I want Washington football team -3 Thursday night. I want Cincinnati early game on Sunday. I want the Texans getting 12.5 at Cleveland. I want the Rams -3.5 at the Colts. That's a big one there. Definitely do that. If you don't do anything else, make sure you do that Rams -3.5. I want the 49ers team total over 26.5. I want the Lions getting 11.5. I want a little bit Monday Night Football investment. Give me the Lions and 11.5 points. And then finally, I'm going to go big, Saints -3.5. I think the Saints are going to beat the Panthers by a lot more than 4, and I really like the Saints team total of over 23.5. Bryson, man, thank you so much. Thank you for your time. Thank you for coming on. Make sure you check out Panthers on Tap. Podcast anywhere that you find podcasts on Apple or Spotify or whatever. Dude, is there anything that we didn't get to tonight that you wanted to make sure that we get to?
No, man. I had a great time. I appreciate you having me on, and good luck this weekend. Me and my brother will hopefully be at the game. We are trying to go, and it'll be, you know, Saints versus Panthers sitting right beside each other. So good luck, and I'm excited to see how it plays out.
Good luck, man. Well, look, we got a tradition on this show. I always want my guests to say goodbye to all the beautiful people listening to Taking the Over Billy Gunn.
And that's all. Thank you for listening to Taking the Over.
Now you just say good night, beautiful people.
Good night, beautiful people.
We'll see y'all on the other side. Thanks.
I made that a lot harder than it needed to be.
It did. Yeah, no, you're good, bro. You're good. Cheers. Love you. Bye.